Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com. As always, we talk it over with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch on a Friday. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Happy Friday, Dan. I think we got some things to dig into today.
Oh, you think so, huh?
I think so, yeah. Lots of speculation, lots of shots to be called. You and I are going to break down this trade deadline and have it all squared away by the end of this podcast.
Well, it could be, you know, a situation where a guy just walks across the field. Could have that with Juan Soto. Why not?
Hey, man, if you can cut down on travel expenses, you can take all of that saved money toward trying to extend him. Just one way to look at it.
That is one way to look at it. Every little penny counts, I guess. You know, when people tune into this, that's the first thing they're going to want to know is, what do you think about Juan Soto? So I'll ask you, what do you think? Can it happen? Is it going to happen? What are the pieces that need to go into this to make it happen?
Can it happen? Yes. Is it going to happen? No clue. And that depends on the pieces that would or would not go into it, right? So the Cardinals are gathering in Washington, D.C. to attack this trade deadline and figure out what they need to do. And it sure feels like there is a drumbeat for this front office to have a more aggressive lean at this trade deadline. And that could look all kinds of ways. You know, probably the biggest need on this team is starting pitching. And that really was the target for the front office for much of the season when it came to talking about the trade deadline and how it thought. And then Juan Soto, his arrival on the trade block can change discussions. So I think that there's a point to be made, and there's a legitimate argument for considering and figuring out what it would take to try to land a generational talent when one becomes available. But it's the how that gets really hard. And you're talking about, you know, an asking price for the Nationals, Dan, that really appears to be, based off everything we've heard, really high, and for good reason. So the Nationals are trying to figure out how to get a trade deal that is something they can take to their fans and saying, here's why we had to do it. And that's hard to do when you're talking about a future Hall of Fame player. So I've got a million different thoughts on it, none of which are direct answer to do I think it's going to happen, but it sure sounds like the Cardinals are in those conversations, and they're one of a handful of teams that you can look around and say have the talent on hand and they're able to facilitate those deals if it wants to.
The thing is, though, you got to pitch too. And
right.
And that's the key, I think, in talking about what's happening here with the Cardinals is that would any team love Juan Soto? Of course, but you have to be able to pitch, and I'm not sure that they have enough pitching right now to sustain them through the next couple of months in what they hope is a postseason run.
Well, they don't. They don't have enough pitching right now to feel good about getting to the postseason via winning the division, let alone winning once you get in there. And maybe they could have, you know, kind of tried to scrape it together if Steven Matz stays healthy. Now he's hurt, first game back. You can't expect Jack Flaherty to walk through that door until late August. So that's the thing. If you're going to make kind of that win now splash with Soto, which really that move is for three postseasons with Juan Soto. You get 2.5 seasons of control. You get 3 shots at a postseason if you do it before the trade deadline. You also, you know, have to know that he's a Scott Boras guy who is going to have a chance to break records in his contract when he gets there in free agency at 26. So you could think about extending him, but you've got to know that there's probably a pretty good chance he's going to go to free agency. So you've got to maximize your chances with him if you go get him. That's any team, whether it's the Padres, which I'm always hesitant to count out because they love to trade, or the Dodgers, who can never be slept on, or somebody else, Dan. The Cardinals would have to maximize what they can do with this guy, and they can't maximize what they can do with anybody with this current rotation as it's set up. So that's why, you know, they've kind of downshifted into the skeleton rotation, and it's why that, you know, they still, no matter what happens with the Soto stuff, have to look at starting pitching, and the same players that will be wanted to some degree for Soto could be wanted for impact starters. So that's the conversation I think the Cardinals are having is, who are they willing to give up? Who is off limits? Who would be, you know, duplicated in deals? So which ones will be prioritized? But having a starter who they feel comfortable with starting a playoff game seems like a must. And it sounds like, you know, and with the way that this staff is talking, they really want somebody who can miss bats. They want somebody who can get strikeouts. And there aren't a ton of top level starters on this market, which is going to drive up the asking price for guys who could check that box.
What do you think about this weekend? You got Miles going. You got return of Dakota Hudson. That's big on Saturday. And then Pallante going on Sunday. So how do you size up this series?
Well, I think it's going to be a series that is as much as a series gets overlooked, it will be, because everyone's going to be obsessing about the deadline. But what they're doing in the rotation, which is kind of, you know, backing down to four, is a sign of what they don't have and a sign of what they're hoping to get. It would be a very important time for the guys they can count on in the rotation to deliver. And they got a great example of that in Adam Wainwright in Toronto. I mean, what a masterful performance from a guy who has been solid this season, but has felt like he can pitch better. And, you know, coming off of one of the more frustrating outings of his season, he goes and does that against a really, really good lineup, gets strikeouts, goes deep. They need guys to follow that lead, and they need more guys to kind of put on their Waino hats and help pull this team up by its bootstraps a little bit. So the Nationals, they're not a good team. They're focused on what's going to be happening in their future. This should be a chance to get back to taking advantage of bad teams as the Cardinals try to convince the front office to, you know, give them some win now help. And they should, because they're close enough to the Brewers to still win this division, and the right kind of moves could help them not have to settle for a wild card spot.
You think it's going to be busy, not just with the Cardinals, but do you anticipate just the deadline in general being busy with Major League Baseball?
You know, it feels like it. The Soto thing is going to overcast everything, right? But going into it, weeks ago, we kind of wondered if it might be a little flat, just because there are more teams now that have a chance of getting in. So maybe there are fewer teams that feel like they're going to sell off. But with the way the Angels are trending, and now the conversation about, well, maybe they would field calls on Ohtani. And here you've got the Nationals talking about maybe getting the biggest prospect package ever in terms of a trade. Teams that are clearly out, they're going to have a lot of action for their guys. So maybe that's what it looks like. It's fewer sellers, but the ones that do sell big. And that could make for a crazy deadline. And here's the other thing, Dan, it's already moving. I mean, we're recording this Friday morning. Benintendi has already been moved. It's already starting to starting to go down. So maybe it's one of these ones that doesn't happen right up at the deadline. Maybe it's going to be kind of a steady stream here until Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. I wanted to ask you, too, about Matthew Tkachuk, because the last time that we talked, we weren't sure what was going to happen with him. Well, he does not go to St. Louis. He goes to Florida. They paid a hefty price, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you look at that trade that goes down, and it's late in the night, and you're going, man, that stinks. Why didn't the Blues get him? And I you know, it would have been awesome to see him play in St. Louis. And then you kind of start to analyze the trade, and, okay, what did Florida – give up, what did Calgary want? And what they wanted clearly was a chance to prove they can still be competitive. They can still be a playoff team. So with what they got, you know, the Blues really were not in a position, Dan, to offer. They got a 100 plus point score at forward. They got a top defenseman. They got a first round draft pick and a prospect who has already made his NHL debut, and you start to kind of look at what the Blues could have done to match. They didn't have a 100-point score at forward. Their top defensemen are have no trade clauses and could have potentially blocked that deal. And, you know, for Florida, I thought it was as good of a deal as you can get for offloading a super talented player who everybody thinks is going to be very good for a long time. The other aspect of this is, and it's not a knock on Tkachuk, he was clearly happy going to Florida. They were on the list of teams that he was willing to be traded for and would consider an extension with. And immediately after the deal goes down, he signs that 8-year deal worth, you know, $9.5 million per year. He was eager and happy to go there. You know, he could have refused to sign with anybody but the Blues and made that an easier situation for the Blues, but he didn't. So I don't knock him. He's joining a very good team, and has a chance to, you know, compete for a Stanley Cup there. They feel like he's the piece that could put him over the top. Really, with where the Blues are in their salary cap and with some of the no trade clauses they have on the books, I don't think when they saw what Florida could give that they could even come up with an offer that matched. So it's disappointing, but I think this team is really going to boil down to, Dan, a lot of the guys on it that they have bet on getting better. And it's not a sexy thing to head into the next season saying, but it's the reality. They've got some guys like Robert Thomas, like Colton Parayko, who they've invested in, and those guys need to take a step forward if this team is not going to lose ground.
You think Tarasenko is still with the Blues come training camp?
Oh, I didn't think he would be last year, but he was. So I guess at this point, when Armstrong says he thinks he's going to be around, I'll take him at face value until I see differently. You know, I don't think there's going to be like a long-term extension worked out, but if you're the Blues and you feel like he's going to help your team and he showed last season that he'll go out there and play hard, even if he has another destination in his long-term plans, and you run it back one more year and do it all over again. You know, if you're going to trade him, you've got to get value. They're not going to trade him just to dump it. Because right now, after losing David Perron, his scoring, his experience is more valuable to this team than it was last season.
No doubt about it. Mizzou football, they're getting set to go. You ready to go?
I'm ready. We're going to have coverage of camp, and you know, Eli Drinkwitz is stirring up some water, commenting on the Tennessee NCAA investigation with with his interview with Jim Rome. So he's having some fun, but I think it's as interesting. I was talking with Dave Matter about this week. It's probably as interesting of a Mizzou football season as we've had in a while in terms of just the storylines that are going to play out over the course of the season. They're not expected to be very good. They were picked to finish sixth in the East. A lot of that boils down to the fact that there's no certainty right now at quarterback. Good news for Eli Drinkwitz: Sam Horn is not going to get pulled away by the Major League Baseball draft. He's a big, rangy kid who's going to try to prove that he can start immediately in the SEC. They brought in Jack Abraham, the experienced quarterback, as a transfer to compete with Brady Cook and Tyler Macon as well. So it's a pretty much wide open and fascinating quarterback competition. And you've got the star power of Luther Burden, but nobody knows who's going to get him the ball. So I think it's as content rich of Mizzou football early preseason as we're going to have as we try to look at this quarterback race. And to me, it's about Mizzou proving that they can be a team on the rise here. I don't think year three is some make or break year for Eli Drinkwitz, but it's the year that needs to show his recruiting is starting to manifest, that those guys are coming through on the field, and that he's got his quarterback of the future, maybe not starting game one, but locked up and figured out by the end of the season. So if Mizzou's in a spot where it's a better team entering the second half of the season than it is entering the first, then that bodes well. And if it's not, then that's a little concerning for the future.
Because we care, your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Do you have a waterproofing issue in your basement? Stratum Structural Systems is there to help. It's why they're the number one waterproofing company in the Midwest. They put the customer's interest first, provide lasting solutions, and eliminate the homeowner stress. StratumRepair.com.
Because we care, your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
At Hair Salon for Men, you'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. It's all at Hair Salon for Men. Lordo's Diamonds, for engagement rings, wedding bands, watches, fashion jewelry. It's all at LordosDiamonds.com. It's more than a tagline. It's their everyday ambition. Lordo's Diamonds, your family's jeweler for life. See more at LordosDiamonds.com.
What'd you hear about Burden when he enrolled early, as we've talked about, but what did you hear about in terms of how they were using him and just his overall appearance and, you know, first few months being a Division I college athlete?
Yeah, I mean, he's ready physically. He does not look like a guy who's a freshman at the SEC level. I think he can be a difference maker for this team. And I think a key part of this season, Dan, is going to be getting him the ball. No matter who's at quarterback, you've got to find ways to get him the ball in space, let him create. I would let him return kicks. I would find ways to maybe let him take a direct snap once in a while. Some of his most exciting plays in high school came when there was literally him and the ball and a field to look at and figure out, let me go here, let me sprint, let me slow down, let me change directions. That's where his really one of his biggest skills is kind of viewing the field as a chessboard and moving players around accordingly and then taking advantage of where he makes them go. So let him do that. I think that's a key. We haven't heard much from him because I don't think Eli lets him do interviews until after their first game, but all reports have been that he looks physically capable and that he is ready to impact at the SEC level, but you've got to find, you know, ways to get him the ball and get him the ball in space. And that's going to be a big part of the quarterback's job, whoever it is taking those snaps.
Hey, you mentioned the interview that Eli had with Jim Rome. For fans that don't know, what was it? What happened? What did he say?
So Eli, it's funny, you know, he goes so buttoned up at SEC Media Days this year. Last year, remember, he was zinging guys and cracking jokes. This year, he's very much like, hey, we're going to let our play do the talking, and was very kind of subdued at SEC Media Days, kind of intentionally. But I guess he couldn't help himself because he goes on Rome. And so for folks who don't follow Tennessee football, they've got a coach now and Josh Heupel, who used to be at Mizzou, who's done a good job. They're trending up, but their previous coach has created a heck of a mess for them. That was Jeremy Pruitt, who was the guy who worked under Saban, but it turned out it was basically, I mean, the equivalent of a telephone pole in terms of intelligence. And he was doing really ridiculous stuff, like having his wife pass along impermissible benefits to players, take care of some of the bag work. So they got hit with a notice of allegations and they're going to have certain punishments. But it was so bad, actually, that Tennessee investigated it itself and then handed over the information to the NCAA so they could get out of paying his buyout. So in some ways, it kind of worked in Tennessee's favor. But that's the Reader's Digest version. So Eli Drinkwitz was asked about it, and he kind of said, well, maybe maybe his loss to Pruitt can get vacated so his record could look a little better. And then he kind of questioned his wife's his own wife's commitment to the program. He said, my wife, it wouldn't do any of that stuff for me. So he's got to revisit maybe her dedication to the program. He was being a smart aleck, but it was really funny. And it really wasn't even a knock at Tennessee as much as Pruitt. But of course, Volunteers fans got heated. And that's the Drinkwitz that I like. The guy who's willing to stir the pot a little bit.
That's good stuff, man. That's how you stir it up. That's SEC football, isn't it?
Hey, man, I'm never going to knock a guy for being funny and interesting. And I think sometimes these guys take themselves way too seriously. So I am a fan of Eli being willing to poke fun, and also he's pretty good at poking fun at himself too, so that makes it for me easier to celebrate.
Hey, let's wrap it up with a few more things. I'm going to go back to baseball. We have not talked about Albert, but this guy is hitting everybody, righties, lefties, so I would anticipate he's in the lineup a bunch this weekend, and then you have Yachty returning next week, and I think to the greater point, the crowds are going to be fun. It's going to be energetic to be down at the ballpark and to see those two wrap up what is their final years of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, hopefully Yachty's wrist is okay after getting plunked in Memphis the other night. That was frustrating to see. Not an intentional thing, just an accident and one of the risks of having these guys rehab in general. But he needs to kind of get back into playing gear before he returns. But you didn't want to see that, so hopefully he recovers well to that. Certainly sounds like he's excited to be back, and based off of what he did before he took that pitch on the hand, he looks like he's ready to go, as much as you can tell from a triple A game. So that's good news. Albert, man, it's something else. And for the Cardinals to get that kind of performance from both him and Wainwright in a game where they really needed to get a win, they needed to turn the page from, you know, Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt not being there, get on to Washington with the bounce in their step. And what a game from him. I said, not to toot my own horn, because it wasn't like it was the biggest, the hottest take ever, but when he got picked for the All-Star game, I said, this is going to help him, and it will send him on a surge. And that's pretty much what has happened. And I think that he got a boost from being around those guys at the All-Star game, from the home run derby. I think also as the second half goes on, there will be more and more teams celebrating him and honoring him on the field during his at-bats with the ovations. And Dan, you've watched him as much as anybody. You can't tell me that that doesn't make a difference to him, that that doesn't unlock some kind of something else in him. He's got that ability to kind of know when it's a big moment. And over the course of his career, he's been pretty big in big moments. There will be a lot of him for the rest of the second half. And he's going to, I think, end this thing on a high note. And it's even more reason for the Cardinals to try to do everything they can without completely blowing up their model to try to make sure that it gets to end in the postseason and potentially with a chance to go in as a division winner. So it's fun to watch. He's having fun with it. And the most important thing, you nailed it, his at-bats look good. He is the Cardinals' most important, most valuable, best-performing free agent addition this offseason.
No doubt.
That's not saying very much about the other guys because they've struggled with injuries or underperformance, but Albert has done what he was signed to do and then some.
Hey, buddy, what are you working on this weekend at the Post-Dispatch?
Well, we'll have plenty of coverage. I got a column coming up about Eli Drinkwitz. I wrote about some of the Soto madness and why I think people who are rushing to include Dylan Carlson in a deal like that might want to think twice, not to swap simply Soto for Carlson, but if you're going to get Soto, why put Carlson in that and weaken an outfield you're trying to boost? And Dan, I want to end it with one question. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
We've talked so much about what the Cardinals want, what the Cardinals should do. If you're the Nationals and if you're one of these owners who are thinking about buying the Nationals, it's important to note the Nationals are for sale. If you're a guy who's fortunate enough to be, stacked with enough cash to buy a baseball team, or you and your buddies are, wouldn't you want Juan Soto around with a chance to figure out that contract on your own end? Or if you know you don't want to pay him, do you want him gone before you take over the team so you don't have to be the bad guy?
Yeah, it's a PR move, right? I can save $500 million and let the other guy take the brunt of it because he was trying to sell the team.
Man, but couldn't you all – isn't there also value in being the owner who said, no, I want to keep that
for
guy?
For sure, yeah.
That to me would be the play, but not my money. It's easy to speculate on when it's someone else's cash.
Well, this time next week, we're going to know. So it's going to be fun. I mean, the trade deadline, it's hard to imagine this, but it's Tuesday. It's already here. You know, it's game number 100 tonight. So this is truly the stretch run of the Major League season, which is always fun. I love it.
Good stuff, man. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to discuss. And all of the dust will have settled by the time we talk next Friday. It's hard to believe.
You got it, buddy. Hey, thanks for doing it. And we'll catch up next Friday.
Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend.
You too. That's Ben Fredrickson.